This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
How's it hanging, ladies and folks? My name is Chris R.R. Balzo, and this is my show. You're about to hear the first chapter of my ongoing sword and sorcery sci-fi narrative. A story written, read, performed, and edited, all with your ear holes in mind. So sit back, relax, and allow me to unfurl the wizard scroll. Nightfall in the Tiger Woods. That lush expanse of pines, oaks, and ash trees which sprawled across the realm of Yrgsland for miles in every direction. As deer, raccoons, owls, and all the other little woodland critters could be heard going about their usual business. A tree branch snapped and hit the grassy ground with a girthy thud, as a squirrel who was just passing through hoisted the thing over one shoulder and continued on his way.
"That was my dick,"
said the tree. We pan in from above the forest canopy and down into the humble burg of Ashtown. As far as villages go, this is about as small as they come, with only about 24 or so huts, hovels, shops, and shit shacks to go around. A wooden sign sat proudly on the town outskirts, which read, "Welcome to Ashtown, population 69. And presently, a whole plethora of villagers were gathered together in the town square, torches and pitchforks drawn. One guy even had a torch with both ends lit for some reason.
Not my wizard!
Azatas the Wise is a scoundrel and a scallywag!
He turned my girlfriend into a worm!
He came into the bakery, ordered a pie, and took it without paying!
He scammed me for some bogus x-ray glasses!
That blasted old fool has performed such sinister deeds on us for far too long!
And tonight, we put an end to this madness! Once and for all!
Grab your torches! Grab your pitchforks, grab your crossbows, swords, and whatever the fuck else you can get your hands on, lads! The wizard dies tonight!
Not my wizard!
The disgruntled bunch repeated their refrain and made their way up the hill at the edge of town, up to the old bastard's doorstep, as that squirrel from before lit one end of his branch like a torch and joined in the rioting for no goddamn reason. Around the same time, a sentient and dickless tree could be heard wailing in agony somewhere in the surrounding woods.
It's not attached anymore, but it still burns! Oh, I am in such great pain on this day! What sorcery is this?
Nobody cared, because fuck it, he's a goddamn tree. On the outskirts of Ashtown, well off into the surrounding forest, the wizard tower stood in a small clearing, far taller than even the mightiest of the pines, oaks, and ash trees that call the Tiger Woods home. Seemingly carved out of but one gigantic block of reddish-brown granite, this tower, this impeccably constructed marvel of civil engineering, had stood erect in the forest skyline for as long as any of Ashtown's inhabitants could remember. And in the highest room of this stone obelisk, a wrinkled old man was in the middle of showering, singing to himself as soapy water ran down his knobby old body.
This wizard that they're talking about, I wonder who it could be, 'cause they know I'm the magic man, the magicest man you ever did see. When you see me walking down the street, hey, 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 when the fellas wanna, hey! Get the fuck out of here, you goddamn narrator, or I'll slap you silly!
The adjacent room, the wizard's bedchamber, housed a multitude of artifacts, scrolls, and books that lay neatly arranged on bookshelves lining one wall of the room. Up against another wall was his prized 420-gallon fish tank, teeming with miniature versions of a vast variety of deadly sea monsters. We're talking mini krakens. We're talking mini sea dragons. We're talking regular-sized clownfish. And in case you were wondering, yeah, there was a tiny Moby Dick in there. Thanks for asking. Next to the tank was a crimson-red race car bed with flames etched on the sides. And next to that lay a small nightstand with a leather-bound book of spells on top. A gigantic glass-pane window, which overlooked both the surrounding forest and the small village below, encompassed nearly the entire third wall, save for the wizard's work desk and a wardrobe full to bursting with dozens of identical teal robes. And the fourth wall was home to two ornately carved wooden doors. One had a long spiraling dragon's tail painted onto it and led to the long spiraling staircase that ran down to ground level. And on the other was drawn a close approximation of what the fabled Bongzilla was believed to look like.
What the fuck's up, liches?
Out from the Bongzilla door emerged an ancient, wrinkled man fresh from his shower, clad in onesie pajamas and pink fuzzy slippers, Azataz the Wise. His long white beard hung down to his chest, and his eyebrows were bushy and full. They hung over his eyes in such a way that it left his wrinkled old face in a permanent scowl.
Boy, am I tired,
he said aloud to no one in particular.
I just can't wait to lay down in my rad race car bed and get a good night's rest.
The wizard's head whipped to the shattered remains of his window, down to the rock on the floor, then back at the window again. Just before another rock came flying in and completely fucking obliterated his fish tank.
Oh, come on. We're really fucking doing this shit again? Yeah. Reboots, am I right?
There he is! The despicable old deceiver in the flesh!
Hey! Who's the funny man throwing rocks? Some people are trying to sleep up here!
That sorry son of a lich shall pay for his crimes with blood!
One villager shouted over the rest as she removed from her tunic pocket a small doll which had been fashioned to resemble Azataz, complete with beard, teal robe, and pointy hat.
Not my wizard!
She held the doll to open flame, igniting it as well as her own goddamn hand. The crowd went fucking ballistic, this display of arsony clearly emboldening them as that repeated chant grew ever louder. They paid no mind to the fire that spread across the woman's body and killed her as someone in the mob made to throw another rock.
You there! What's the big idea throwing rocks and shit? You broke my window!
Dude, quick! Throw another rock at it!
Right! Yeah! Oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck, oh fuck! Battering ram? Jesus, Louises, what's gotten into these people? I mean, really? You'd think after decades of torment and tomfoolery at their expense, these damn peasants would know better than to mess with me. Mess with I. Mess with, as it says, the wise.
He sprung to action immediately, first stripping from his wet onesie and tossing it into the hamper. Then he removed one of the dozens of identical robes from his wardrobe, slipped into it, and popped the collar all cool-like. Finally, to complete the look, he donned his pointy wizard hat, embroidered with a pattern of moons and stars. Then he looked straight at the camera and said at last,
"Today's episode of The Wizard Scroll is brought to you by listeners like you. Head on over to patreon.com/thewizardscroll today for instant access to all sorts of patron-exclusive content, including, but not limited to, early access to new episodes before they're released, phone and desktop wallpapers, and a whole bunch of other shit as well. Sign up for a small monthly donation today at Patreon. That's patreon.com/thewizardscroll. And you better know how to spell that. Anyway, that's about it from this old blabbermouth. Azataz, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Not my wizard!
Keep on battering, lads!
Not my wizard!
Together as one!
Not my wizard!
It's no use. The wizard's magic's barred the door.
But then, just as all hope for bloody vengeance seemed to be lost, a small elf girl of 5 or 6 years, clad in a skirt of leaves and a sash adorned with bright, colorful badges, she entered the clearing unannounced. With her small wooden cart in tow, she marched up to the front door, rang the doorbell, and spoke the evocation of her ancient order.
Elf Scout cookies!
The door immediately flung open with such force that every last one of the 68 townsfolk, that one charred and burnt husk, and even the squirrel, were all tossed several feet back. Everyone save for the Elf Scout, who stood unaffected by the shockwave that had tabletopped everyone else with ease.
"I'll take 2 boxes of Whizmints, please,"
he said as 2 gold coins materialized into his hand.
2 boxes of Whizmints. Coming right up, Mr. the Wise.
"Thank you, dearie. Run along now."
The girl obeyed, disappearing back into the forest whence she came, carriage in tow. Then the wizard shifted his attention to the angry mob, which now formed a tight semicircle around him. He reached into his sleeve and removed his staff, with its smoky orb nestled atop it, glowing as bright as the sun.
"As for the rest of you, this is your final warning. Leave. Now. Leave before I..."
"Not my wizard!"
From somewhere in the crowd, another rock came hurtling toward the wizard. But right as it was about to hit its mark, to come crashing into Azataz's jaw, the rock stopped. Dead in its tracks. It hovered in place mere inches from the wizard's face for a pregnant moment, much to the astonishment of the townsfolk. They stood there, in shock, in fear, or most likely a combination of both, standing there as the levitating stone came hurtling right back at them, pelting the pesky little rock thrower right between the eyes.
"Do you fools know nothing of the rule of threes? I mean, I'll admit, the rocks, yeah, they were kind of funny the first couple times, but now you're just being obnoxious."
The wizard spoke casually, as if he hadn't just straight up murdered that man. Because why should he care? Over the course of eons, Azataz the Wise had honed his magics, had mastered the art of the arcane, and now he possessed the power to bend reality itself to his will. For all intents and purposes, he was a god. For all intents and purposes, he was their god. And those townsfolk, no, those insects, those mere mortals made to commit that most mortal sin of deicide, fuck that.
"Obnoxious, blasphemous punks you are, the lot of you. Perhaps you have all outlived your usefulness after all. Perhaps it's time to put you all down like the worthless little worms you are."
"Hey, that's my girlfriend you're talking about!"
With this, he pointed his staff toward those craven sheeple who even now still repeatedly chanted that blasphemous refrain, "Not my wizard!
Not my wizard!
He pointed it at those fucking assholes that had vandalized his home and killed his pets. His stance wide. The orb nestled on top began to glow a piss yellow. You know, like when you eat a shit ton of Lucky Charms and your piss is like super yellow? Like that kind of yellow. And before any of the villagers had time to react at all, he roasted them alive. Not all of them. Not yet, at least. It'd been a long while since Azataz had a chance to flex his magical prowess, and he fully intended on relishing this opportunity. So he aimed his blast carefully, being certain not to hit too many people at once. But the ones he did hit, the ones that were unlucky enough to get themselves caught in the beams of yellow light emanating from that glowing orb, Their skin and muscles melted off like in that scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark, such that only their skeletons remain.
Scarlett, look out! Ah! Mom? No! No!
It was around this time that the villagers realized they were in some deep shit. Because after a man, woman, or gender-neutral character found themselves enveloped in a beam, after their skeleton was picked clean by that acidic blast, the bones that remained would rise of their own accord.
I'm free! I'm finally free!
Bob, is that you?
Ugh, I ain't your mom anymore, kid. I'm a skeleton now! Hi, nice to meet you. My name's Jerry.
Skeleman? Oh, this can't be right. Unless...
Let's start a fucking riot!
One Skeleman cried out loud,
"Right!"
The rest rebuted as they all started hurtling their own goddamn bones at the remaining villagers, the ones who scrambled to defend themselves from the impromptu bone horde at their midst. Despite being outnumbered 2-1, the Skeleman had no trouble gaining an early upper hand over the panicking townsfolk. Double Torch Guy tried to deflect the bones thrown his way by twirling his namesake two-sided torch around, like Darth Maul or some shit if that was invented in this universe, but this display did nothing to stop Jerry the Skeleman from leaping from a tree branch and aiming for the man's skull. Elbow first.
Taste atomic elbow, you atomic ass eater!
Meanwhile, in the throes of combat, whirled and swirled a grizzled red-headed warrior with an eye patch, wielding a broadsword in each arm, spinning in circles and slicing Skeleman apart 2 by 2.
Scarletta! Skeleman, on your tail!
Dad! Two of them are getting away!
Good eye, daughter! I'm on it!
The warrior gave chase, running after the duo on legs gone weary with age, charging into the brush with his blades brandished until he spotted his quarry.
Mwah. Oh, baby, kiss my bones. Yeah, right there, Mwah. Baby. Yeah, boy!
Mwah. What the H-E-double-eck is going on back here?
We're in love.
Yeah, so get out of here. Can't a pair of Skeleman smooch in peace?
Yeah, can't a dickless tree get cucked in peace?
The warrior then backed away slowly, deeply embarrassed to have soiled such a tender moment, and returned to the fray. The squirrel leapt up on one Skeleman's shoulder and smacked their skull clean across the clearing with a single, mighty swing of his flaming tree branch. While the eye-patched warrior spun in a circle with his two broadswords outstretched, killing any Skeleman who got within his reach. While Scarletta fired holy water-dipped arrows at the Skeleman, which caused them to explode into bone fragments on contact. While the local blacksmith swung his handcrafted battle axe side to side, slicing through the Skeleman with ease. And lo, the citizens of Ashtown had gained the upper hand, and proceeded to slay the remaining Skeleman easily, due to the fact that they were skeletons and easy to kill. With Ashtown's remaining citizens preoccupied with ending their kerfuffle with the undead, the wizard retreated back into his tower unnoticed. Azataz dashed up the stairs with a quickness belied by his age. For if he was to pull off the next stage of his plan, he needed to reach the top floor of his tower as quickly, as expediently as possible. So he climbed, stair after stair, landing after landing. He practically fell up those goddamn stairs. But by George, he made it up there in record time, shortly before realizing that he's magic and could have teleported up to his room instead. Either way, the frail old man pored through his handy-dandy spellbook, frantically skimming its pages for the spell he sought.
Come on, where is it? Spell of healing? No, no, no. Freaky Friday spell? Maybe save that one for later. Aha! Here it is!
The wizard quickly recited the ancient, arcane words written on the page with a picture of some guy's washboard abs drawn on it.
I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt, so sexy it hurts. And I'm too sexy for Yerxland. Too sexy for Yerxland, New Ork, and Japan.
As he spoke those sacred words, the knobby old man's gangly limbs swelled with newfound vitality. with the arcane energy flowing through them, causing sudden, rapid growth that left them taut and muscular. He flexed so hard that his long, billowing robe was completely torn asunder, revealing the newly vascular bod that lie beneath, as well as the tramp stamp of a unicorn on his lower back.
It was the 80s, okay?
I think that's all of them. Quick, let's get the fuck out of here before that crazy old man comes back.
Mrs. Stivelman is right.
It's Stivelman, lugnut.
We need to retreat, regroup, and re... Huh?
Flash shards rained upon them all as Azatas the Wise burst through his penthouse window, hovering in midair, looming there, menacingly. His floating, yoked physique glowing with a bright yellow aura that almost resembled a third moon in the night sky.
Now, who to kill next? Eeny, meeny, miny, not my wizard! You!
The wizard zoomed from the sky, clocking in at speeds over 69 times the speed of sound, falling feet first, drop-kicking his way right into the crotch of the local blacksmith. Now his junk was struck with the force of 1,000 suns, causing his phallus to fly freely to and fro across the clearing. And after a moment or two of this, the cock rocket finally came crashing back down to the ground, right next to where Mrs. Stivelman was currently standing. And lo, she had been utterly annihilated in the resulting explosion. Only a pile of ash and her signature pair of goggles remained.
Oh, would you look at this! An adorable little squirrel! Aw, Zack!
Upon being blasted by the blasphemous old fool's blasphemous eye lasers, a monstrous change had begun overtaking the squirrel. A spectacle that looked by no means painless, as the little guy's body grew to the size and proportions of a man. As Freddy Krueger claws burst from the skin on the back of his paws, as its buck teeth grew into one single razor sharp point.
You ready to murder these fools, ya boy?
The wizard asked as he sauntered right up to his latest abomination and scratched it under the chin. Looking out toward the crowd of terrified villagers he had been picking off one by one all throughout the evening.
How about him? The red-headed fellow with the eye patch.
Yes, master!
Dad!
Scarletta! Run! I'll try to hold him off for as long as I can!
Oh! Dad, no!
The bestial squirrel sprang from its prone position on the forest floor and sunk those blades of sharpened bone right into the jugular of Scarletta's father. And let me tell you, he got his shit rocked by that squirrel, the one with blood and viscera dripping down its chin as it slowly arched its back and stood on its hind legs.
This is the part where you run away.
Well, shit. They're gone. Gee whiz! How will old Azatas magic his way out of this one? Find out next time on The Wizard Scroll! What?
Thanks for tuning in to me screaming about wizards for 20 minutes. If you're still here after all that, odds are that you enjoyed it and are stoked for more. Well, fear not, dear listener, because let me tell you what's in store. A lot of episodes. Like, a whole lot of them. Spread across 2 podcasts, no less. So, if you're new here and want to wait until all of Season 1 redone is all out and wrapped up before checking out the rest of the story, I've got you covered. So, go ahead and give a gander to Wizard Scroll Nights. A cavalcade of all the bonus content I've produced with my friends over the years. Interviews, one-offs, goofs, spoofs, skits, and just shooting the shit. Anyway, word of mouth is how this show can continue to grow. So share the shit out of it with everyone you know. And until next Saturday, bye.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Sine. That's a geometric waveform or arc that rises and falls. And a new Canadian TTRPG and podcast inspired by that almost soothing mathematical motion. Let me show you. The action begins to rise as powerful strangers in a ruined yet vibrant world band together.
If you run north, they will chase you. I suggest you stand behind me.
Partner, I'd rather stand beside you if you're willing to help.
Tension continues to mount higher as our characters must push themselves beyond their usual limits.
As I'm climbing into the driver's seat, I'm going to say to Sarah, sometimes you got to make tough decisions. I'm driving now.
And it peaks as the danger and excitement hits its zenith, leading to great failure or success.
Fenrir would be just fire at this point.
She straight up might die. Like, this encounter might murder you.
You know what? You lit me on fire. We're going to be on fire, baby.
And this tension relaxes with tragedy, but more often humor, that comes with great pals being around a virtual table playing a game. Discover Sine on your favorite podcast player. S-I-N-E. Choices of the characters are theirs to make, but the fate of the world is up to the dice.